My co-author and actually my boss at CDC is John Fitzpatrick, who's one of the lead enterprise architects at CDC. So today we're going to talk about what is the enterprise architecture development method, and I'll give you a brief description of it, a little bit of history, its purpose, an overview, and we're going to supplement that with examples. There's plenty of room up front. Come on up. Don't be shy. And then we'll talk about how this can help you. We'll talk about some general benefits of enterprise architecture and then some that are specific to this development method. Basically, the specific things for the ADM, standard set of artifacts and models, and jumpstart your EA program and process. So the ADM is a phased approach to enterprise architecture, or actually segment architecture, which is when the enterprise is too large, like say the entire federal government or even CDC or even within that NICFI, you want to break that up into what we call segments, which are just a piece of the architecture that you can do all at once. So for instance, laboratory systems within NICFI, you could do all of those at once, whereas if you tried to do, say, all of CDC, by the time you got done with that architecture, it would already have changed. And as you can see from the diagram here, enterprise architecture has a very large scope, very low detail, and its impact is more in the strategic area, whereas a solution architecture is more down at the function and process level, has a high level of detail, and impacts operations. And segment architectures come somewhere in the middle. The ADM produces a standard set of artifacts, and each of those has a template that goes along with it. And there's a project plan template that helps you step through the process for each of your projects. And there's also a guidance document that goes along with it to explain how everything works together and how to do each task. The ADM is based on best practices that come from a variety of sources. Excuse me. There's the Health and Human Services Architecture Framework, the Department of the Interior's Methodology for Business Transformation, the Department of Defense Architecture Framework. Come up to the front. There's the Federal Enterprise Architecture Framework, and then there's the Open Group Architecture Framework. And you see the word framework in there a lot. A framework is basically just a way to guide your thinking about enterprise architecture. It's how you decide what's important versus what's maybe not so important. And the ADM is currently in version 1. We just finished version 1 at the start of this year in January. And for practical purposes, you should treat it like a beta version. The purpose is to have a consistent approach. Come on up. Don't be shy. A consistent set of tools and templates and consistent analysis across multiple projects so that if you do, say, your laboratory systems this year and your outbreak management systems next year, you wouldn't have very disparate sets of artifacts. You would have the same ones. You would do the same analysis in the same way and step through the projects in the same order. You want to produce a standard set of artifacts and models that allows you to compare things very easily. And it covers all the layers of your architecture. And you can produce models at the level of detail that makes sense for a particular project. So if you know that you're not going to do process re-engineering this year, for instance, you might only get a list of processes and maybe model them to a low level of detail. Whereas if you know that process re-engineering is something that you really want to focus on this year, you would model them to a high level of detail. It's intended to be flexible and allow you to adapt it to whatever project you're working on. And if you choose to adapt it, please don't skip the stakeholder analysis. that's actually critical to getting your architecture correct, which means also getting your system design correct. And it's intended to produce actionable architectural models. In other words, it's not just some abstract thing that you do and then put on a shelf. It's something that you can actually take out and go start projects within your organization. So the overview of the different phases, initiation, obviously what you do there, you set the scope and the purpose of your particular architecture. What are you going to look at? What are you trying to achieve? Figure out who your stakeholders are and form a team that will do the architecture. The methodology doesn't depend just having an architect do things. It's actually a team of people from within the organization. And you'll want to have subject matter experts. You'll want to have some executive level sponsorship, some management sponsorship. Then we do a baseline analysis. Essentially, we take all of the things that are already out there, like system documentation, procedure manuals, anything like that, capture those into a template that we have, and we'll see what the architecture layers are for the HHS model on the next slide. And then we analyze that baseline. Then in the target analysis, we interview our stakeholders, define the vision, goals, and objectives for the particular segment, and then align those to the goals and objectives of the larger enterprise. And then identify and determine the target states for business, data, services, and so on. Then comes the hard part, the transition planning. We perform a gap analysis between what we have today and where we want to be tomorrow, and then create a plan to move from one to the other. And then during the transformation phase, essentially project teams are created to execute the transition plan. So those teams might set up new systems or do some in-depth process re-engineering and so on. And the architects essentially just monitor those efforts to ensure that they are still in line with the architecture. And then in the compliance phase, essentially, once everything is done, once the project's complete, you want to monitor the ongoing operations and make sure that it, as things change, either your requirements change or things no longer perform as well as they might, that you keep an eye on that. So here are the HHS architecture layers, all the way from strategy down to facilities, including two cross-cutting security and performance. Again, you can see the phases of the ADM on the side here. So by example, we did a project for NICFI in 2007 that was initiated by Dr. Leonard, and that was started right after the FIN conference last year. The actual completion of phase one was in December of 2007. And the first thing we did was to tailor our data collection to fit the needs and the schedule of the project. And basically we separated into these segments that you can see along here. These were our stakeholders. And then we had these cross-cutting areas here. And I won't go through every bullet point on all of these slides because we have a pretty short time here. But these were the steps that we did on the NICFI project. And we basically put together a charter, determined our scope, which was 55 systems, and all the processes and programs that they support, and so on. And we use that scope to create a list of the deliverables for the project. And then working back from that, we created a questionnaire to collect all of the data necessary to create those deliverables. And the focus initially was on how information gets exchanged between the systems. And we chose to only target these areas of the architecture framework. We did our baseline analysis by distributing the questionnaire and then talking to individual system stewards. We had then a modeling session that the architects did with a follow-up interview. And then we analyzed the baseline and identified some potential issues for a move to an open source model. And we did not actually interview the stakeholders directly. We interviewed the system stewards, which we don't really recommend as a practice. You want to talk directly to the stakeholders, not the people who just develop or administer the system. However, time constraints didn't really allow us to do that. We then performed a gap analysis between target analysis. Dr. Leonard had set out a vision and goals for being open source, collaborative, all of those things. If you were here at Finn last year, you'll remember that. And what we did was to identify what are the steps or what are the gaps between where we were at the end of 2007 and that vision. Then we came up with a transition plan, which was kind of easy to do the gap analysis because NCFI was nowhere near that vision. And I don't think I'm surprising anybody by saying that. We didn't have open source. We didn't have a collaborative development environment. None of those things. We weren't on a grid. So then we created a plan to move from the baseline to the target, which in our case meant just a high-level strategy. And we recommended some next steps to create a lower-level, more granular transition plan. And that was the end of phase one. So how can this help you? Well, generally, enterprise architecture helps you establish clear links between your mission and your goals and what you spend your IT budget on. It can also help you to reduce redundancy. CDC has a lot of different surveillance systems, for instance, so we're beginning to look at how do we consolidate all of those on an ongoing basis. Of course, that will help to reduce costs. It helps you identify barriers to information flows, process bottlenecks, and so on. It also helps to ease your transition to new technologies because you're able to judge impacts better just by knowing what you have. So for instance, if you know you're moving to a new version of a database, you would know which of your systems use that particular database technology. The ADM produces a standard set of artifacts, and each of those serve a definite purpose within the method. You're not doing, in other words, process modeling just so you can check off, yes, I modeled my processes. They either are something that you need to deliver or something that you need for an input to a later analysis. And best practice is not a reason for doing things. It moves a lot of decisions about what you do from a project level for your architecture and more into a program level, which helps you reduce project complexity because you don't have to make the same decisions over and over again. And different projects will produce similar models. And that helps it to become well understood after just a few projects. Okay, to jumpstart your EA program, start with an existing method based in best practices. Whether you choose the HHS ADM or MBT or DODAF or the TOGAF ADM doesn't matter so much as take something that you know will work and then adapt it to your needs. And then try that method one time out of the box before you make changes to it and then decide what works best for you. And that's it. If there are any questions, yes, sir.
Right.
That's a really good question. The easy answer to that is DOI's MBT, because it's very prescriptive. It gives you a precise list of artifacts that you should produce, the methods for producing them, and it's a bit more mature than the HHS ADM. So I would say it's probably number one in that region. Any other questions? Ah, okay. Yes. The methodology for business transformation. It is an architecture methodology, which the HHS methodology was partially based on. It goes through very similar steps to this. It is a little more generic in that the HHS methodology was specifically adapted to function with the HHS meta model, and the DOI method is a little more generic. You can actually download the entire methodology off of the web. If you want to talk to me afterwards, I can give you the address for that.